Staff here. And we're going to turn now to God's Word. If you have a Bible or a Bible app, would you turn with me to the book of Proverbs? We're going to be looking at Proverbs chapter 15, verses 16 and 17 this morning. For those of you just maybe joining us, we've spent the last couple of months working through the opening chapters of Proverbs, verse by verse, passage by passage. And now in these next week, we are pausing and looking around and saying, what are the big themes in the closing 21 chapters of Proverbs that we should give our attention to? And so this morning, we're landing on one of those themes in these verses. Proverbs chapter 15, verses 16 and 17. This is God's Word. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fattened ox and hatred with it. Would you bow your heads and pray again with me? Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and again, we just ask your help. We ask that your Spirit would speak to us through your word. Open our eyes, our minds, our hearts, our ears to receive from you. Correct us and shape us. Convict us of sin. And show us the treasure that we have in your Son, Christ Jesus. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Here's what I want you to know this morning. Beaches are better than mountains. Dogs, way better than cats. Coffee is better than tea. Pavone's pizza, better than Mario and Salvo's. Josh Allen, better than Patrick Mahomes. And while we're at it, football is better than soccer. Obviously, my judgments, right? Feel free to be wrong and disagree. It's okay. It's okay. Obviously, those things are subjective based on my preferences and my outlook on the world. But this morning, here in Proverbs chapter 15, we're faced with a set of divine decisions about the relative value of things. A set of things that the Lord tells us, this is better than that. And these are things, in these two verses, that we can get jumbled in our mind. And we do get jumbled. They get jumbled because many of the people around us, people we love and are dear to us, they operate on a different value system than the ones in verses 16 and 17. They're pursuing things that don't necessarily align with Scripture, with what wisdom holds out to us. And they get jumbled in our minds because the messaging around us, when we walk into stores, when we're scrolling on social media, when we're listening to our political leaders, is counter to what we find in these verses. And I think we inevitably feel the pull and the tug and the draw of these forces around us. We're so easily, to use Scripture's words, squeezed into the mold of the world around us, and oftentimes without even knowing. We're like the frog boiling in the pot. And so this morning, I want you just to allow Proverbs to recalibrate reality for you, to kind of reset things for us, reminding you what is truly good, what is actually desirable, what is unquestionably life, and what is undeniably better. Okay? Just asking you to to hear that this morning. So verse 16, Solomon begins by telling us, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than having great treasure and trouble with it. Now, if we were able to sit down and have lunch with old Solomon this afternoon, he would not tell us that having wealth is a bad thing. In fact, he'd probably tell us having wealth is a good thing. Money is not the root of all evil. The love of it is. Making riches a functional god from which we get our security and around which we form our identity, that's evil. But money itself is not evil. Wealth itself affords us the opportunity to care for family, friends, and the community around us. It enables us to explore and enjoy the gifts God has kind of baked into this world in which he's given us to live in. So Solomon would tell us, wealth isn't a bad thing, wealth is a good thing. And on top of that, he of course would say that the fear of God, the fear of the Lord, is a good thing. Right? If there's one theme that kind of dominates them all throughout Proverbs, it's this idea of the fear of the Lord. And some of you might not have been with us when we started out about 2 months ago, but we define the fear of the Lord as a wonder and an astonishment at who God is that then leads us to trust him, which subsequently results in worship and obedience. So it's astonishment and awe that leads us to trust, and then, because of trust, to worship and obedience. So having wealth is a good thing, and the fear of the Lord is a wonderful thing. But Solomon says, if you have to choose, if you had to choose today, scraping by in life, just eking out day-by-day existence, accompanied with salvation, that beats treasure in this life. Because trust in the Lord is superior to treasure in this life. Trust is better than treasure. Here's that first recalibration. We might give assent to it, but let it align your life. Because after all, think about it, treasure in this life, as wonderful as it can be, it comes with trouble. Andrew read it for us earlier, First Timothy. It can be a snare. It can weigh us down with anxieties, right? Because the more you possess, the more you have to lose. If you don't have anything to lose, okay, right? But the more we possess, well, then theft and lawsuits and economic downturns and inflations and investment collapses, all those things become realities for us that can kind of run in the background in the operating system of our mind. They're not there when you have nothing. And more possessions rarely simplify your life. I had 3 cars in the auto shop this week. That's miserable, right? Possessions require maintenance, insurance, taxes, decisions, right? Repairs. In contrast, there is no greater treasure than to know that you are accepted, loved, cared for by the creator and sustainer of this world and of your life. No greater treasure. In Matthew 13, Jesus told a series of parables. And in Matthew chapter 13, verses 45 and 46, Jesus tells a parable about the value of knowing God, of being a part of his kingdom. Here's what he said in Matthew 13, 45 and 46. He said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant, a business person, in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Knowing God, being known by God, being counted as a part of his family is literally worth giving up everything you have, everything you own. Though you don't have to do absolutely anything to be a part of his family. But let's just say you're left with nothing. If you have Jesus, you still have everything. Trust is better than treasure. Solomon's highlighting the superiority of being a part of God's family, of right standing with God, of relationship with the Creator over any earthly treasure. We just sang it a minute ago. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. Solomon rephrased this for us in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 8. He said, better is a little, just a little, with righteousness than great revenues with injustice. And Christian, I just want you to consider again the great treasure you have been given by God in Christ Jesus. Reflect on that. The mercy and the grace that we find in the person of Jesus. It's better than anything you've got. And friend, if you're here today and you've not yet trusted in Christ, you know all the temporary, fading, incomplete happinesses that the world can give you for a moment. But today, Solomon, the Word of God, is holding out to you lasting, endless joy in God your Creator, in Christ your Savior. You can have lasting joy. You can experience freedom from guilt and shame. You can find something far better if you look to Christ in faith this morning. So, pleading with you, embrace the greatest treasure. Not something that can be stolen. Not something that can rust. There's a line from a hymn that was written about 100 years ago. It says this, little is much when God is in it. Little is much when God is in it. Trust is better than treasure. Look at verse 17, though. Solomon gives us another instance of when less is more. He says, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fattened ox and hatred with it. Again, if we were able to sit down at Angry Garlic or with Solomon this afternoon for lunch, he would not encourage us to dine on boring and bland foods. Solomon's not about that life, nor is the scripture, right? He would tell us, and the scriptures tell us, food is a gift from God to be received with thanks, right? So every one of us should celebrate Tillamook ice cream, a perfectly grilled steak, you know, that warm piece of bread that's just come out of the oven, drowning in butter. Consult with your doctor about the butter. I'm not a physician, okay? Amazing. Amazing food and dining experiences are God's gift to us. And here's the other thing. Solomon would definitely extol the beauties and the virtues and the goodness of deep, meaningful relationships. Right? Through relationships, through significant relationships, you and I, we're helped through difficult times. We're strengthened in weakness. We're encouraged when all we can see is gloom and doom. We're consoled when we failed. And we have somebody to join with us in celebrating success. And again, the people who truly love us, those are the people who challenge us. They don't just affirm everything. They say, hey, Bernie, no, there's something better. So Solomon would tell us food is good and relationships are good. But if you had to choose a simple life with no frills at all, surrounded by love, is far better than luxury lived in hostility. Because love is superior to luxury. Proverbs 17:1 doubles down on this statement. It almost takes it up a notch. Here in verse 17 of chapter 15, he says, better is a dinner of herbs. Like, okay, some of us that like lettuce and spinach, we think thumbs up, that's great. A little arugula on top, not bad, right? But listen to Proverbs 17:1. He says, better is a dry morsel with quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. What Solomon's describing here is literally a crusty, molded piece of bread. And he's saying, people of God, you got to know that meal around a table filled with care and concern is far better than insert ideal meal here, right? Japanese Wagyu, whatever you want, right? Surrounded by people that are bitter, angry, and resentful. Even think about the home. Even in the famous portrait of the ultimate wife in Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31:10, we read, an excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. You want a couple million, a couple billion, or do you want a godly wife? A godly wife's better. The relationship's better. See, what Solomon's saying, that peace and love in the most basic and the most simple circumstances will always surpass abundance poisoned by conflict. What good is it if you have a brand new SUV in your driveway, a cruise booked on the calendar, a fortune stacked in your account, if all of your relationships are tainted by frustration and envy and bitterness and fighting and hatred? What good is it to have something wonderful parked in your driveway if your home is a mess relationally? And I don't think Solomon would restrict this just to our biological family, our legal ties. I think he'd say, look around you at the people of God. We need people who will rejoice with us when we rejoice. Weep with us when we weep. People who will exhort us every day so that we're not deceived by the deceptiveness of sin. Better is. Again, this isn't my list, right? Preferences, vanilla is better than chocolate. No, these aren't subjective ideas Solomon is giving us. They're divine directives about what is better in life. This is divine truth recalibrating our understanding, our minds, our hearts. So because trust is better than treasure, because love is better than luxury, you and I, we should chase what matters most. We should reprioritize our lives based on the recalibration that's happened. Right? It does no good for us to say, Jesus is better. Of course Jesus is better. If our lives head the opposite direction. Right? It's no good to say Jesus is better than paychecks and vacations and homes if our lives don't bear that out in reality. If these things in verses 16 and 17 are better, how are we as the people of God prioritizing that? How are you prioritizing that? How are you demonstrating that these things, trust and love, is better than treasure and luxury? I just want to ask you to consider your time. Are you consistently choosing early mornings, or if you're, you know, the late night owl, late nights in the Word over scrolling on social media, binge watching a show, or even maybe spending those extra hours chasing overtime? If someone were to come in here and all objectively audit our weekly schedule, our calendar, would they see that time with Jesus and time with his people take priority over everything else? These things are better. Better is. Consider your finances. Do your spending habits demonstrate that the kingdom matters more than comfort? Are we giving sacrificially to the local church, to supporting missions, to helping believers, even here in our own midst, that are in need? Or does most of our extra money quietly disappear on Amazon purchases? Upgraded gadgets, meals out, trips planned. What about your energy and ambition? Take stock of that for a minute. Are you pouring your best energy into climbing the ladder, building your personal brand, maybe making sure your home looks just right for anybody who walks by or steps in, but you're showing up tired and distracted for your spouse and your kids as a result? Are you willing to, at some point, put a cap on professional ambition so that we all have margin to disciple others, care for others, care for our families, our neighbors, our community well? Better is. Has that recalibrated our reality? Have we reprioritized our lives? Better is. This is better. This is better. Because trust is better than treasure. Love is better than luxury. We should chase the things that matter most. So maybe this morning we need to reprioritize a few things. But I think we should go a step further. Because trust is better than treasure and love is better than luxury, we should cherish the good that God has already chosen to supply in our lives. There's so much good in our lives, every one of us. I know most of you, and we could spend hours detailing the abundant blessings God has given. So what does that mean? What we're talking about here is contentment. Contentment with what God has given us. It may not be over the top. It may be simple and plain. It may be meager. It may not be what we had hoped for. It may not be what we dreamed we would one day have. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 8. Andrew read it. I'm going to read it again. Paul assures us, contentment with godliness. Contentment. God, you've given me all I need. God, everything that you give me is good. Everything you've chosen to withhold from me, that's good too, God. Contentment with godliness is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, folks, food and clothing, anybody? You have it? If we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. Oh, I get it. There's things that has caught your eye. Those things aren't inherently bad. But just in this moment, sit in contentment with what God has given you. Contentment, according to the old Puritan Jeremiah Burroughs, is that sweet, inward, quiet, gracious frame of spirit which freely submits to and delights in God's wise and fatherly disposal of every condition. So it submits to and delights in what God has entrusted to us and even what God has withheld from us. 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul says this. He says, rejoice always. Friend, there might be hard things going on right now today. What's the matter? Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You want to know the will of God today? Rejoice. Give thanks. Even if as you are suffering. Because trust is better than treasure. Because love is better than luxury. We should chase what matters most. We should cherish the good God has chosen to give to us. I want to take just one more step. Because the Bible doesn't just tell us that trust is better than treasure and love is better than luxury. The Bible shows us a person who is better than everything and anything. Right? Think about if you were to flip open the opening passages of Scripture, Genesis 1 and 2. In the beginning, humanity had everything, right? There was abundance in the garden. There was beauty and food and peace and fellowship. They had it all. But humanity wanted something more. Adam and Eve wanted something more. We wanted the gift without the giver. We wanted the treasure without trusting the Lord. And in turning away from God and rebelling and sinning, we lost everything. And then in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. Wisdom himself came into the world. Jesus Christ is the one who shows us what it's like to believe that God's better than everything. Right? Think about what he did. He had all the treasures of heaven, and yet for my sake, for your sake, he became poor. He had perfect fellowship with the Father. What did he do? He entered a world with hatred and hostility towards him. He came to his own. His own did not receive him. He deserved a feast, yet he was given a cross. He deserved glory, and yet he was stripped, beaten, and shamed. Why? So that sinners like me, sinners like you who have squandered everything, could have the greatest treasure of all, God himself. God himself. And one day, by faith, the faith by which we now say, Christ is better, Jesus is better, God himself is better, that faith will become sight. One day, we'll see the King in all his beauty, face to face. One day, we'll enter the feast of the Lamb. One day, every earthly treasure will be exposed for what it is, as temporary. And every sacrifice we've chosen to make, it will seem infinitely worthwhile if done for God himself. So chase what matters most. Cherish the good gifts God has already given. Give thanks for what you have. Hold earthly treasure loosely. But above all, treasure Christ. Could you bow your head and pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word. We hear these words and they seem like easy things. Of course, life with you is better. Of course, love is better. But we're so quickly deceived. We're so easily tempted. So, Father, I pray that you would show us and convince us of the reality that you are better. Yes, Lord, please help us to receive your gifts with thanks, but let us look beyond them to you, the source of all good, the source of all that's better. Father, I pray for some, we pray for some here who have walked in here, whose hearts have been, and lives have been spent chasing after things, hoping to find satisfaction, hoping to find fulfillment, hoping to find happiness. God, would you just open their eyes even now? Grant them faith to trust in you, to see you, to behold you, and to lay hold of you by faith. Do that work, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.